Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
I want you to open your Bibles to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. This is the most quoted book in the New Testament other than the Psalms. Jesus quoted the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, and today we're looking at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. We have all kinds of people here at North Central, and all people are welcome here. Every ethnicity, every skin color, we come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single, some are married. Some have been married a long time, and some just got married. Some have kids, and some don't have kids. Many here today are believers, but not all. But we're all here because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Our Lord compels this church to share Jesus and make disciples who will in turn make other disciples. And because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We're looking today at Christmas from a prophet. That's the title. Isaiah was an 8th century prophet. We have been looking at the overarching subject matter of a prophetic Christmas. In other words, do you realize that in the Old Testament, all these prophecies were given that there was going to be the Lord Jesus Christ coming to crush Satan and to defeat sin, death, hell, and the grave? And so we have taken a different approach a little bit at this Christmas time. Instead of going right to the passages in the Gospels and in Luke chapter 2, and we'll get to those, but instead of beginning with that, we're looking at the Old Testament. So we've been looking at a prophetic Christmas. One of the things that is a blessing when you study Bible prophecy, when you see the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, it gives you great stability in trusting God's Word. Do you get that? In other words, when you see the Bible prophecies from many centuries ago come true in the person of Jesus Christ, then it gives you confidence in placing your life at the disposal of Almighty God, basically saying, Lord Jesus, you are my Lord, you are my Savior, and I can trust you. What a blessing. So our overarching theme has been a prophetic Christmas. Back in the last Sunday of November, as we got started with this, our title was Christmas at the Fall. All the way back to Genesis chapter 3, we see Christmas, because the Lord said that the seed of the woman, capital S, the Lord Jesus Christ was going to come and crush the head of the serpent, and he did that on the cross. So even back at the beginning of time, at the fall of man, we see Christmas. And then last week, Chris Abner talked about Christmas at the birth of a nation. When God called Abraham, he said, I want you to get out of your own country, and I want you to go to another country that I will show you, and I will make you, this is the birth of a nation, I will make you a great nation, he said. And then he said this, in you, talking about in the nation and the descendants of Abraham, in you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So we learned that it was God's intent always to get the gospel and the message of God's love to every single person in the world. And we fulfill that as a church by getting, this morning, we just voted to approve our budget for 2026. And in that budget, we have monies that have been reserved to go to missions and to get the gospel to all people. And of course, the whole reason we exist is to get the gospel to our people right here in Gainesville and then just like our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Church family, we're never off the hook to getting the gospel to the whole wide world. That's what God has given us a passion to do, and we want to get the gospel to our neighbors here, to our own families, to our own children, and to their children, and then also to the ends of the earth. So we saw that Christmas at the birth of a nation last week. Well, today is Christmas from a prophet. Next Sunday, the 21st, we're going to look at Christmas fulfilled. We're going to see how that these Bible prophecies were fulfilled in the coming of the Lord Jesus. And then the last Sunday in December, it'll be after Christmas Day. Of course, we're going to have a Bible study called Christmas All Over Again. And that is another way we see the coming of the Lord, the fulfillment of what Jesus is going to do. And then I want to remind you that on Christmas Eve, right here in this room, on Christmas Eve, on December the 24th at 5 o'clock, we have our candlelight Christmas Eve service. It is a tremendous service. It's a one-hour service, and we read Scripture together, all the prophecies of the Old Testament. We read the fulfillment. We sing the carols. We have the Lord's Supper, but we also have a candlelight service as well and sing the carols together. It's a real, real special time on Christmas Eve, so mark your calendars for that. What does all this do? A prophetic Christmas. Well, what it does is it gives you hope that every word of God is sure. Every place God gives you a promise, it's true. Young people today, you can trust God's holy word when He gives you instruction. Sometimes He says, be careful about where to go or what to do or these kinds of things. He does that not to ruin your life. He does it to bless your life. And you can know that God's ways are true. It gives hope. It gives hope for us in the difficult days and in the glorious days. It gives us hope that God's word is sure and God's word is true, and we can trust His word. It's amazing when you consider the power of prophecy. It's amazing when you believe and you understand the hope that is given to you in God's word. Things you don't know down the road, but your hope is in God. We used to sing a song, "Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God, because God is faithful." Amen, church? So we are to do that. Thinking about hope and looking to the future, I heard the story of a man who went up to a little league baseball game and one afternoon, and through the fence, he saw a boy in the dugout, and he asked the boy, he said, "What's going on? What's the score?" Boy said, 18-0, we're behind. Man said, "Man, I bet you're discouraged." He said, "Why should I be discouraged? We hadn't even got up to bat yet." Now that's hope, being down 18 down. They hadn't got up to bat yet. Well, you know, it's amazing when you really have confidence and you have the hope, you have hope in your life, the difference it can make. Eugene Land was a self-made millionaire. He went back and spoke to 59 sixth graders in Harlem. He was raised in Harlem. His parents were immigrants. He came here and became a self-made millionaire, and they asked him to come back and speak to these sixth graders who are about to embark into their junior high and high school years. And so he got inspired while he was in front of those 59, and he told them, he said, "If you graduate from high school, I'll pay for your college." All the parents that were there gasped. They asked one boy, "It's amazing what hope can do," and they asked him, he said, "At last, I had something to look forward to. Something waiting on me. It was a golden feeling." And nearly 90% of that group that was in an area that they didn't have many that would go on to graduate, but 90% of that group did. And the reason was that Eugene Land gave them hope. That is exactly what, when we have what we call Advent, it means coming. We have been preparing for Christmas Day because of the coming of Christmas Day. Well, in the same way, in the Old Testament, there were discouraging times, there were difficult times. And yet, God always gave the people hope that the Messiah was going to come. Well, church family, we are so blessed because we're in what they call the church age. We're after the coming of Jesus at Bethlehem. Instead of looking forward to that, what are we looking for? We're looking forward to the second coming of Jesus. My question to you is, do you really believe Jesus is coming again? How many of you believe Jesus is going to come again today before this service is over? Raise your hand. You believe he's coming today? Most of you don't. The Bible says, in the hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh. I tell you, I'm not so sure that I would raise my hand to say I really believe he's going to come before this service is over, but I know this. He says he is coming again. Amen? I don't know when it's going to be, but I know he is coming again. So, we're on that side of Christmas. Well, the Old Testament prophet Isaiah in the 8th century B.C. gave a prophecy that there was going to come a Savior. Now, I've got three little handles I want you to hold on to in this message. The first one is the prophet's hint. The prophet's hint. He gives a hint, and he gives it back in chapter 7. Go back to chapter 7 and verse 14. In chapter 7, verse 14, the Bible says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. That's why I use the word hint, because that word is like that word for hint. I'll give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Well, this evidently had a fulfillment in real time, but it also was a prophecy of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who would be born of the Virgin Mary. Isaiah spoke to Ahaz in Judah in 734 BC. He wanted to encourage him because two kings and nations had plotted to destroy him. Isaiah prophesied that those kings would be gone. And that's another prophecy we're not going to get into, but that was true. It came true. Those two nations were foiled in their attempt to overcome that nation. All right? Isaiah prophesied that those kings would be destroyed and they would be gone, and they were. Isaiah said to Ahaz in Judah, this was a period of the divided kingdom where the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom of Judah was there. And Ahaz was the king in Judah. And he said, I want you to trust in the Lord. This was Isaiah's message to Ahaz the king. I want you to trust in the Lord. He said, would you like a sign? He talks about that at the beginning of chapter 7. You can go back and read that. And Ahaz had already made an unholy alliance with Assyria. Ironically, it's interesting that Assyria was going to eventually bring the hammer down upon Ahaz and his kingdom. But at that time, Ahaz had made an alliance, an unholy alliance. Sometimes we're that way. We don't trust God and his word. We don't understand the prophecies. We don't believe God at his word, and so we make unholy alliances with things or with people or with philosophies and all these types of things. Well, that's what Ahaz did. And Ahaz acted spiritually, said, no, I don't need a sign. Well, the truth was he didn't want a sign because it was a reminder of the unholy alliance that he had made. So Isaiah gave the sign to all of Judah. And he was initiating a sign to the people of God. And in verse 14, he says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Well, the commentators believe that this was fulfilled in real time in Isaiah's day, in that a virgin was married and there was a son that was born in that timing that would be named that, and that was their real-time fulfillment of that prophecy. But at the same time, a future child would be born named Emmanuel, or God with us. Isaiah, he later predicted that Judah would fall to the Babylonians, and it did. Judah eventually fell to the Babylonians. Isaiah delivered this prophecy in 734 to Ahaz. In 732 B.C., Assyria defeated Syria, and in 722, Assyria invaded the northern kingdom, and the prophecy was fulfilled. But here's the point of a prophetic Christmas. The point is that God is always the initiator of the hope that we have in Him. In other words, you can trust His Word. He gives us these prophecies that we might know it comes true. God's pattern is to initiate. In the beginning, the Bible says in Genesis, in the beginning, God. He initiated forgiveness to Adam and Eve. We studied that in Genesis chapter 3. He told Noah to build the ark. He initiated that to Noah. He initiated the covenant with Abraham. We studied that last week. Then the prophets, God used the prophets. It was God's way to get the people's attention. God was using the prophets, and He was using Isaiah in the 8th century B.C. to inspire the people to believe God, that a Savior was going to come, a man was going to be born of the virgin. And the Bible says, they shall call His name Emmanuel. Let me just say this to you. Stop and just say this to you, folks. God is initiating His love to you. There may be someone here that you're wondering, why am I here? Why, how, you know, I showed up today, somebody invited me, but I just think this is just maybe just any other meeting. Well, no, you're here today because God is communicating to you His love. That's always what God does. He initiates love. Even in a crisis, God is initiating His love. Maybe you have a friend who is bugging you about Jesus. They continue to bring up Jesus in your life. Well, that is God initiating His love to you. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. It is initiated by God. These signs are to give us hope for the future. You remember Gideon in Judges chapter 6, Gideon said, Lord, would you give me a sign? I'm going to lay my fleece down. And he said, I'm asking you to let my fleece be wet with dew and the ground be dry. He said, Lord, I know you're calling me, but just to give me a sign, would you do that? Would you let you covered with dew and the ground be dry? Well, he laid that fleece down, and the fleece was wet the next morning, and the ground was dry. Gideon said, Lord, would you do it one more time? Sometimes we need extra, don't we? We need that extra assurance. And he said, this time would you let the fleece be wet and the ground be dry? And so the opposite. And so he did it again, and that was God proving and assisting Gideon in his faith. In verse 14 of our text in chapter 7, it uses the word behold. That's a forewarning of a great event. Behold! Isaiah says that. And then it says the virgin. And then it says his name shall be Emmanuel. In Matthew 1:23, it translates this for us, meaning God with us. That promise from Isaiah to Ahaz And the people of Judah back then was God's way of saying, when this child is born, it's me saying, I'm with you. Well, that's what Christmas is to us. Christmas is God's way of saying, I am with you. God came, Emmanuel, God with us. This Christmas, the prophet Isaiah wants to give you a hint. We're looking at a prophetic Christmas. We're looking at Christmas from a prophet. The prophet Isaiah in the 8th century B.C. is giving us a hint today at North Central Baptist Church in our service. And he's going to show you that directly. Not just a hint. He'll show us in Luke chapter 2. We'll talk about that next week. He'll show it to us directly. But sometimes we need that hint. Don't miss it. Jesus came and he came for you. Now, the second thing is the prophet's hope. And if you go to Isaiah chapter 9, we see the hope of the coming of the Lord. In chapter 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Well, why did Jesus have to come? Why was Isaiah prophesying that even though the northern kingdom was crushed, and eventually about another many years later, the southern kingdom would be taken over by Babylon. In the midst of all that, the people of God, the people that feared God, what was their hope? Well, he's giving them hope in verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Why did Jesus have to come? Well, Jesus came because he was going to the cross. Sometimes at Christmas, we only emphasize the birth of Christ. And I realize that's why we have Christmas, because we're celebrating the birth of Jesus. But let's don't stop the story just at the birth of Jesus. Amen? We go on and we realize that Jesus came because he was going to the cross. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, it says this, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, we just studied this in our study in 2 Corinthians, it says this, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The reason that Jesus came, I remember when we used to study in Evangelism Explosion, we would talk about the Lord Jesus, and we would say Jesus was the infinite God-man. He was all God and all man. He came to this earth, but Jesus had a purpose for his life, and his purpose was to die on the cross, to pay for our sins, and to purchase us a place in heaven, which he offers us as a free gift. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Let's not forget the cross, church, at Christmas time. Early in Billy Graham's preaching, he had some success, but he came away many times without a lot of fruit. And as the story, as I read it, the story was told of a lady that was a prayer warrior of his, and he said, I don't understand. Would you pray harder? Because I'm not seeing people come to Christ. And the woman said, Dr. Graham, you're not preaching on the cross. And so Billy Graham decided, I'm going to every message that I give, I am going to preach on the cross. And from that day forward, he knew, he preached on the cross, and God's power came upon his messages, and many, many people were saved. Kelly's granddad, was saved watching a Billy Graham television show and gave his life to Jesus Christ. Many people were saved, but Dr. Graham made a commitment, I will always preach on the cross. It's amazing what happens We look at this prophet's hope. Isaiah is saying to the people, he's saying, look, Emmanuel is coming. There's going to be a child that is born. A son is going to be given. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting God. It's amazing what happens when you're given that hope. And I just want to say this. No matter what you face and what I face, if we obey and honor Jesus, sometimes we have to do that when we can't see in the future. That's really the lesson of a prophetic Christmas. The whole reason we're doing the series is to say this. In the Old Testament, it was prophesied that Jesus was going to come, and guess what happened? He came. So if God speaks to you about something that's unknown in the future, he says, you know, go this way, go with God, obey my word. It's worth it to do it. It's amazing the power when you know God is behind the scenes working. I heard the story of two boys in a classroom, in an elementary classroom. Both of them were named Johnny in this classroom. Well, one was a happy child and an excellent student, a fine young man, and always obeyed the teacher. The other guy was incorrigible, man. He was hard to deal with. He was in trouble all the time, shooting spit wads, having all kinds of problems, and he was just not going to cooperate. So there were two Johnnies. There was the good Johnny that was doing everything right, and then there was the other guy, the other Johnny. That would have been me, although there weren't two Calvins. I met a Calvin last night, by the way, man. I flipped out. I don't meet a lot of Calvins, but anyway, there were two Johnnies in this class. Well, they had the PTA meeting. It was the first meeting of the year, and a mother came up to the teacher and said, how's my son Johnny getting along? Well, the teacher just assumed that it was the good Johnny. The teacher said, oh, I am so excited that your Johnny is in my class. I can't tell you how much I enjoy him. I am so glad he's in my class. Well, the next day, the problem Johnny came up to the teacher and said, my mom told me what you said about me last night. I have not ever had a teacher who wanted me in her class. That day, he completed all of his classwork, and the next day, he remembered his homework. It's amazing when someone initiates hope. Isaiah did that for the people of Judah. Isaiah is doing that for you today. Because God says some things about you and some things about me. He made you. God is your creator. He made you. The Bible says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen? The Bible says that God says, I love you so much that I gave my life for you on the cross to take away all the sin and the bitterness that you have. Christmas can be a discouraging time for some. Let's be on the lookout for anyone in our sphere that we can encourage at Christmas, because God loves them. Amen? Sometimes family difficulties are magnified at Christmas. Financial hardship is magnified. But we must listen to the prophet's hint. Isaiah in the 8th century B.C., we must listen to the prophet's hope. God is saying to you, it's worth it to follow him. The third thing is the prophet's message. His message is a message of reconciliation. At the end of verse 6, it says, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The word wonderful is a word for deity. The Messiah would be wonderful in his nature as the God-man. In his teaching, in his doings, all that he does, in the circumstances of his birth and his death, in his resurrection, is in his ascension. There was wonder about Jesus. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 and 29, it says this, "And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Jesus is wonderful. It's astonishing what Jesus has done. And then it says, he's the wonderful, he's the counselor. That word means to resolve. You think about choices that you have to make. I think about our college students. I think about our young people, our teenagers. And I think about the way I was as a teenager, wondering what life was all about and ahead of me. Think about all the choices that you have to make. Give those choices to Jesus. I know that may sound simplistic. I'm kind of a simple guy. And my pastor said, "Calvin, give those choices to Jesus Christ. Where you're going to go, what you're going to do with your life, who you're going to marry." He said, "You'll never regret it." He's the counselor. It means to resolve. It's like a musical term. You know, tonight they'll be doing a song and they'll be, "Nyah!" And then it'll, "Nyah!" That's a resolve. Now that's your music lesson for this week, okay? It will resolve. Well, Jesus is the ultimate resolver. He's our counselor. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 14 says, "Counsel is mine." I love that. You want counsel? Go to God. "Counsel is mine and sound wisdom." He says, "I am understanding, I have strength." And I love this. He says in Proverbs 8, "By me kings reign and rulers decree justice." Listen, all this world and all these rulers and everybody in power, all of it is under the authority of Almighty God, our sovereign God. By him kings rule and reign. So you can go all your life scurrying around trying to figure out everything that you're supposed to do, but you know what you ought to do? You ought to get up every day and get on your knees and say, "Jesus, I give you my choices. Help me, guide me, direct me." And you operate in decision making based upon the principles of God's word. Then it says, he's the mighty God. God is a warrior. Sin is like a spider web that traps you, and yet God is the one who is mighty. He's a warrior. Satan and sin wants to take you down, but God is mighty. When you put your life in the hands of God, he defends you as a mighty warrior. Then he's the everlasting Father. It means the eternal protector. God's the one that protects you. You're not smart enough. You're not faithful enough to stay perfectly in tune with him. In John chapter 10, verse 28, it says, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." Amen? He's the eternal protector. In the 8th century B.C., the prophet Isaiah was telling the people this, that there is going to be a virgin who is going to give birth to a son. And he's going to be the everlasting Father. And then it says the Prince of Peace, and that means to be in safety. What in Luke 2, we'll look at this later. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." The word peace is a pregnant word in the Bible. It's an incredible, loaded word that means to resolve. It means your estate is whole. You have peace. Your estate is whole. So let me say this in conclusion. Here's the message of the prophet. You can trust God. Is that a profound statement? Not really. You've probably heard that 100 times. But do you realize that in Genesis 3, we saw a hint of Christmas? Do you realize that in Genesis 12, at the birth of a nation, we saw a hint of Christmas? Do you realize that in the 8th century BC, in Isaiah, we saw a hint of Christmas? So you can trust God. Rick Husband was an astronaut. Rick Husband died on February the 1st, 2003, in the Columbia disaster. He, all of his life, wanted to be an astronaut. He was a fighter pilot. And what he did was he applied to be an astronaut and was denied 3 times. He met his wife, Evelyn, and they fell in love, and they had kids, and he kept applying, and he kept getting rejected. Well, he got right with the Lord, and he made his main verse in life, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You know that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. It's really a verse of Scripture where you put yourself under the sovereignty and power of Almighty God. Well, Rick Husband said, I'm going to apply. He had done all these things to become an astronaut, but he had never been approved. So he's filling out the application, and he is right with the Lord. He's trusting the Lord. And in the application it says, have you ever worn hard contact lenses? He had a dilemma. Because that was a death nail to being an astronaut for some reason. I don't know all the details of that. I probably need contact lenses, but I've never worn them, okay? I used to always amaze. I had roommates, they had the soft ones. And they would hold their eye open. You try to hold my eye open, I'll hit you in the mouth. I mean, I am not going to do that. Well, these guys, they take that contact and they go like this. They go, and they roll it around, they put it in their eyeball. Sometimes they get off, they say, hey, where is that thing, Calvin? I say, it's down there in that corner. And they rub their finger all in there. I don't know how they do that. But anyway, evidently a hard contact lens was a no-no for an astronaut. On the 3 previous applications, he lied. He said he had never worn a hard contact lens because he had only worn them very briefly. He thought, oh, I don't want to get kicked out just because I wore them very briefly and I don't wear them all the time. And so he lied and said, no, I have never worn them. Well, this time, on this 4th time, he's trusting the Lord with all of his heart. He said, I can't lie. I've got to tell the truth. So he put yes. He said, he told his wife, he said, there's no way I'm going to get accepted because if I say yes, they're going to reject me. And since I said yes, they know I'm a liar because on the last 3 applications, I said no. When you put your life in the hands of Almighty God, then you know and can trust Him. And he even said in his journal about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, he says, that to me is a very comforting reminder that God is in control, that He has my best interest in mind. It has been a real big mental adjustment to me that I may not become an astronaut, even though it is what I have seen as my destiny for such a long time. It is comforting to know, though, that He loves me and has blessed me beyond anything I could imagine. And I have every reason to believe that all things will work out. Well, he was accepted. He was accepted. He ended up dying in that Columbia tragedy. But I heard his testimony from his wife where he had made a video every day for his children while he was gone. He did his devotions with his kids. I don't know what your situation is, but I know this, the message that Isaiah is telling us today is we can trust God. Amen? We can trust him. It reminds me of that story of the thirsty man. The thirsty man that came up on a well in a desert land, and he was so thirsty, and he came up to the well. You know those old crank wells? You ever seen one? Raise your hand. Y'all out there? Okay. You're out there. And he came up on this well, and there was a jar of water, and he was so famished and thirsty that he just wanted to drink the water. But there was a note, and he read the note real quick. It said, "Don't drink the water. Pour all the water in the pump to prime the pump. You've got to prime the pump or it will not pump water." So he had a decision to make. Do I believe this note and pour all the water and then it's gone? If I can't get water to prime, I'm done. I'm going to die of thirst. Or I could just drink this little bit of water right now and have my thirst partially quenched. Do I believe the writing? He unscrewed that thing and he poured it all into the pump to prime the pump. And he started cranking. All of a sudden, it caught. You ever seen that done? You kind of do it and it's like there's nothing there. And all of a sudden, you just keep going. And all of a sudden, you can feel it. And all of a sudden, here comes the water. And he just sat there and drank and he drank and he drank. And then at the bottom of the note it said, "Don't forget to fill the jar for the next person." You know what we're in the business of? Life is about, do you believe the writing? You got a choice. You go your own way, do things your own way, things that seem the way to go, or you can say, "God, I want to trust you with everything I have," and you go by what God says. Well, I just want to tell you, you'll be glad that you did if you go by God's way, and that's Isaiah's message. Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.